Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, welcome to On Fire to Inspire with your host, Miss On Fire to Inspire herself, Aaliyah Butler. I want to thank you so much for joining us this evening. I don't take it lightly that you took time out of your busy schedule to join us. So tonight we're going to be having a great, great show for you. Tonight's topic is, there is purpose in your testimony. And there is purpose in your testimony. Everything that you went through, that wasn't for no reason. I tell you, God's going to get the glory out of your story. But before we jump into the show, we want to thank each and one, every one of our sponsors that sponsor us each and every month. I praise God for Evangelist Townsend, who's the author of Experiencing the Greatness of God in the Spiritual Realm. You can find her book on any of the online outlets. Make sure you pick up that book. It's a great, great read, and you'll find out more about that in a little bit. Third Heaven Sound, where it's not just music, it's a sound. And I'm telling you, this man is a minstrel from heaven, and you can pick up his CDs on CD Baby and Reverb Nation. Unique Expression by Design is your custom product and business guru, Miss Angelise Washington. She will take care of your T-shirts, your cups, your pens, mugs, journals, whatever it is that you have need of, she'll take care of you. That's Unique Expression by Design. And then Ross Hair and Beauty Bar is located in Conyers off of Highway 138. She's at 1501 Highway 138 at Golden Crust, beside Golden Crust, rather. She's located inside F&D Beauty. She specializes in all of your hair care and beauty needs, including relaxers, twists, natural hair, quick freeze, lashes, makeup, sew-ins, and much, much more. So tell them, any of them, that you've heard it on Fire to Inspire. We have Gems, Inc. They are a mentoring program for girls. They do educating, mentoring, and promoting awareness. Gems stand for Girls Empowered, Mentored, and Supported. You can check them out on thegemsinc.org. That's thegemsinc.org. And then we have Dr. Janae Bishop. She is the founder of Have Joy LLC. She's a personal development coach and the author of How Much Joy Is in Your Journey. That book is available on Amazon. And then PrintTara.com is your one-stop shop for business cards, flyers, banners, magnetic signs, videography, photography, and websites. Well, we are back for our show tonight. I tell you, I am so blessed and honored to have this powerful, powerful young man on the show tonight. I have the one and only Mr. Dale Townsend. I tell you, he is doing a mighty, mighty work for the kingdom of God. God is using him through his testimony. Many times you go through some things in your life, why me? Why not you? So we want to welcome Dale to our platform. Welcome, welcome, welcome to On Fire to Inspire. Dale, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Aaliyah?
I am great. I'm great. I'm great. I'm so excited about having you on our show tonight.
I know, and I'm so excited just to be on your show. And definitely, I'm honored, and I thank God for this opportunity just to be on your show for such a time as this.
Amen, amen. So, Dale, tell our listeners, who is Dale Townsend? Tell them who you are.
Well, Dale Townsend, Dale Townsend, above all, is a work in progress. But also, I am the son of Alexandris Townsend and Milbert Townsend. Those are my parents. I got an older brother, Terrence Townsend, that is actually in the military. So that's a little bit of my background as far as my family background, so to speak,
okay.
I actually come from.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay. And you're residing in the Charlotte area, if I'm correct?
Yes, I am. Charlotte, okay. North Carolina. I moved to Charlotte, North Carolina in 2012.
Okay, 2012. Gotcha, gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dale, we're going to jump right on in to who is Dale, because a part of your story is a part of who you are. And so many people mm-hmm. are like, well, you know, they don't know what I've been through, so God can't use me. So can you share mm-hmm. with us a little bit about your testimony?
Okay. Well, I came to Charlotte, North Carolina in 2012. And I came to Charlotte, North Carolina in 2012 to enter into a treatment program at Charlotte Rescue Mission, where 2 years later I was employed by. I came because of alcoholism, which ran very strong in my family. On both sides, I would say my mom's side as well as my father's side as well. It was a point. I had tried many a times, Aaliyah, to get sober. Many a times. I had tried through the church. I had tried through self-help books. I tried through just not going certain places. I tried by just locking myself into a room, not going outside, not answering my door, all kind of things. But in 2012 was a little bit different, you know, because I had had so many different prior experiences of trying to get sober and, you know, incarcerations, hospitalizations, outpatient therapy, a lot of things that I had to go through, you know, all of those things that are part of, was a part of my journey and a part of how God kept me in the midst of it all. And so in 2012, prior to me actually coming to Charlotte Rescue Mission, you know, I got into it with my father, and I never forget, in that midst of that situation, he really didn't want me to come back, you know, and to be honest with you, that was the best thing that happened. Because I think that was God literally intervening on my behalf. Because it put me in between a rock and a hard place. It put me between where I really had to man up and I had to do something. And, you know, don't get it twisted, not at the exact time that I changed. Of course, it took a little bit. You know, I moved, I went out, and I was staying with kind of like a surrogate father to me. Far as that always fed me in my active addiction, because I really didn't eat. It was a lot of things that I just didn't. I just was not able to take care of myself when I was out there. And I went to stay with him for about a month or so. And I was just tired. And I can never forget, I had a run. I was on a run for about 2 weeks, just using, drinking, snorting, all kind of stuff, popping, all kind of stuff. And my pastor had talked with me prior to then and said, you know what, Dale, you really need to get away, because it's like a life and death situation with you. You know, he had prayed for me. And, you know, God had set it up, because I really didn't know where to go. You know, he was like, he was kind of giving me instructions, you know, but it still wasn't a place where it was still wasn't the place still wasn't clear yet. And it was kind of like, you know, you need to go into a program, but you need to go into a program that's going to be a little bit more than just 21 days, in other words. So I was like, well, dang, what program is going to be a little bit more than 21 days? Because pretty much all the programs in South Carolina was 21 days. And so that's when I found out about a program called Charlotte Rescue Mission, which they call Rebound. And it was a 90-day program. And I can never forget, I never forget the weekend of Whitney Houston's homegoing funeral, just sitting in my parents' house, because that Monday I was going and I was so tired. You know what I'm talking about? And it was like I was ready to change, but I really didn't know how to change, because that had become my life. You know, drinking, partying, living that lifestyle, that was really pretty much all I knew since I had got out of high school. You know, and you're talking about almost 15 or 16 years of just engaging in that type of lifestyle. And so I remember just going to Charlotte, my parents dropping me off, and, you know, the fear. And the week I got there, I pretty much slept the whole week, because I was just that tired. And, you know, and that's when God really began to really do a work there. I got introduced to a sponsor. You know, I got introduced to Alcoholic Anonymous, or I should say reintroduced to Alcoholic Anonymous, because at the age of 23, I was introduced to Alcoholic Anonymous, but I just felt like I was just too young, too cool, too much swag to be sitting up in there with a bunch of older white guys eating donuts and coffee. That just was not very appealing to me. And so now I get reintroduced to Alcoholic Anonymous at the age of 34. And so now I am very receptive to Alcoholic Anonymous, because in the process of all of these things, I have experienced so much pain that made me willing and made me teachable at this time to pretty much do anything. And, you know, really, I think my change really began through my pain. That's what I really, you know, until really an individual is tired, they're going to continue to do the same thing over and over again. I can remember, Leah, this time I didn't make any vows to God, because I was the same man in 2004. And this is the tricky thing about alcoholism is that in 2004, I shared my testimony. And I shared my testimony, you're talking about in front of about 5,000 people, literally. Yeah. And then, like, 4 months later, I mean, it was like, dog, it was powerful. I mean, it was really crazy. And then 4 months later, they see me out there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And they see me back in that lifestyle. And so you talking about that 4 months after I shared my testimony, you know what that 4 months turned into? That 4 months turned into a 7-year process. Mm-hmm. It took 7 years. I was just nothing but out there. And so, you know, so when I came around this time, you know, I didn't make any vows to God. I didn't make any promises. I didn't pray any foxhole prayers. I was just willing. Mm-hmm. And that's when God really began to put the people in my life and really surround me with the winners and really surround me with people that was really kind of nourishing me and helping me and coaching me and teaching me this way of a new way of living that I was not used to living, you know. So
yes, so you just got tired. What do you feel like was your breaking point, though? What took you to the point of just saying, I can't do this anymore? What do you feel that was just that?
When I look back over in retrospect, it was a slew of different things. Mm-hmm. I looked up and I had nothing. I was unemployable. I couldn't be trusted. I was a thief. I was a liar. I was dying. Mm-hmm. I was dying. And I think that I had a moment. It was a God moment, a moment of clarity that, you know, I don't know if you ever seen Men in Society when, you know, somebody, I think it was Jada, asked Kane, do you want to live or do you want to die? And I just had that crack of that moment. And I thank God for the grace, because I was just tired, you know, because, you know, it had been 7 years. And a lot of times when I will go back out, it wouldn't be that long. I would go back out. Drink, do whatever, get in a relationship. And I was in those kind of like those habitual cycles pretty much all through my years of being 20.
Mm-hmm.
And the latter part of me being almost entering into 30, that's when the consequences was different. That's when people looked at what I was doing differently. And the ultimately was when I didn't have a roof over my head really changed the ball game.
Okay.
You know, because at that time, you know, I didn't have nowhere to go. And I was so low, pretty much the only thing I could do at that time was to look up.
Wow. So, Dale, how old were you when you started this lifestyle? Were you in high school when you first started or right out of high school?
You know, because I played sports, I kind of bobbed and weave a lot due to alcohol and drugs, and I really didn't get into really alcohol. I had a little bit of experimentation when I was 15, and which I share all the time, and 16 and 17, but I really didn't really get into alcohol, and really I should say the codependency, mm-hmm. until I was really 19. And excuse me, I wasn't drinking every day, but I was drinking on the weekend. And when I drank, I noticed that I couldn't stop. And I noticed that when something happened that was discouraging, something that happened that was disappointing, something that happened, I mean, just beyond social acceptance, that that was the way that I medicated the situation. And that's what I did. I utilized alcohol because that was my way of escaping. You know, because I was a person that if it was something that I really wanted to do, I always had that extreme type of personality. I was going to go all the way. And the only thing was I really never had a plan to what happens when it may not go the way I wanted it to go. And when that happened, King Alcohol was there waiting on me. You know, so.
That's how you mask the pain. But when you become sober again, then you had to deal with the reality of the consequences of everything.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. So what are you doing now? You are living a life helping others. What are you doing now? Let's switch it from that's where you were. Now where are you now?
Where am I now? Well,
yes.
Through this process, God is God, and I believe my supervisor, she's listening in too as well. But you know, through this process, God has truly blessed me, because when I first got to Charlotte, I was in the food service industry, and I've been in the food service industry for about 16 years. And in 2015, what I thought was probably one of the most traumatic things that happened to me on my journey of sobriety, losing my job in 2015, really came one of the most blessed and greatest things that could ever happen to me, because it really began to open up the opportunity and really enter into deeper purpose, because that's when I got into the mental health field and substance abuse field, and I was able to, you know, relate to other people. You know, just not from an educational standpoint, but I was able to relate to them from just experiencing and going through the things that they went through, you know. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the things that was really a blessing to me. And like I was sharing with you prior to the interview, and probably about 2 years in my sobriety, because a lot of people don't know this, I used to smoke a pack of cigarettes a day, you know, and you know, I used to have people fanning from me and running from me and, you know, all kind of crazy stuff, because I would just light it up. And the thing was, is because I picked that habit up when I was out there in my active addiction. So even when I was getting sober, that was one way of me holding on to something that still made me feel good, because I couldn't utilize alcohol. And so so I said, you know, and I never forget going to Atlanta. My aunt told me, she said, you know what? She said, yeah. She said, baby, whatever you do, you know, God has did a good work in your life, but put them cigarettes down. Because my uncle had passed away that was very close to my dad from lung cancer. Smoking cigarettes. He pretty much smoked since I came out of my mother's womb. And so I can never forget, it wasn't too long after that, I began to apply the steps of AAA to really begin to get free of cigarettes. And in the process of that, I began to, you know, I substituted smoking for working out. And I always have had a sense of background, you know, of athletics, because that's something that my parents were strong advocates of, is me and my brother playing sports when we were younger. And I just began to work out. And people was asking me, like, dang, you got so big. Like, what are you doing? This and this and this and that. And then later on, I said, wow, you know, like, maybe why don't you go get a certification? This might be something that you can do. And, you know, and that's when I actually began to pursue getting a personal certification. in the process of me actually pursuing getting a personal certification, I was like, what is fitting for what am I trying to do? That because there's a lot of blings. I mentor, I speak, I do fitness training, I'm in the mental health. So there's a lot of different lanes that I run in. So what is a brand that is broad enough to cover all bases? And and something that, you know, I really felt that is from, most importantly, is from God. Because it was God that brought me through everything that he brought me through. And that's what actually when he gave me Destined to Make It. And that's my brand. That's what I, and a lot of people don't really know what Destined to Make It is. They just maybe just look at it and they say, well, okay, that's something that he's just posting on Facebook, or that's just something that he's just utilizing, or where did you come up with that? But really, Destined to Make It comes from how much I hated myself. You see what I'm saying? How much I had to overcome in my life. How many people cursed my life and said that I'd never be nothing. How many people define and how I allow myself to be defined by my own situation, you know, and how God never gave up on me. You know what I mean? And Destined to Make It is it's beyond who I am as a person. It's about the redemptive work of God. And that's what it's really about. It's what God has done for me. You know what I'm saying? That I share with other people. Because a lot of times people come with many a masks, because fear has many a masks, you know. But when you sit down and you talk to somebody, it doesn't matter what it is, if they overeat or whatever they may be dealing with in their life. You know, the most encouraging thing to say to an individual, beyond your dilemma or beyond your shortcomings or whatever limitation that you might have put on your life or somebody else has put on your life, the greatest thing to say is, man, you know what? You destined to make it in spite of that.
Yeah.
Because that's what really Jesus told Peter. When Peter tried, when he failed and he went back to fishing, that's what he was telling Peter. Man, you can't, man, I touched your life, man. You can't go back to how it used to be. You can't go back like I never touched your life. You can't go back like you never entertained greatness. That's the thing about it. I'm only here by the grace of God. And though people may see success, they may see God promoting me, they may see God raising me up and flourishing me and establishing me more in Charlotte, I don't get it twisted. I remember when people didn't even want to hear nothing that was coming out of my mouth. More or less, they could trust me even being around them. If they had change in their car, not even talking about dollars, I'm talking about change in their car, loose change. And see, I remember those things. You know, I remember who put me in my position. That's why I don't allow nobody to trick me out of my position, because I know it's God that put me in this position.
Yes.
You know, so.
Amen, amen. I tell you, you have such a powerful testimony. And like you said, God has taken your story. He's still getting the glory out of it. And how are you helping others with it as far as, like, you said you're mentoring, and what are the other things that you're doing?
I'm mentoring, and I'm also going into facilities. Going into facilities, sharing my story with those that are basically detoxing or and also sponsoring, because most importantly, I've been taught, because a lot of things that when I was out there, I was taught. When people live insidious type of lifestyles, they're taught those things by their experience. The more you engage in darkness, the more you become and you look like darkness. The more you engage in light, the more you look like light. And that was just really at the end of the day what I engaged in. And so today I sponsor men, and it was taught to me that if I want to keep what I have to be willing to give it away. And that's the principles of recovery. And that's how I run my business. I run my business with the principles of recovery. You know, I apply the same pressure that I apply to my addiction. I apply that same pressure to it. I'm not saying I'm the smartest. Not saying that. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm the most educated. But I just apply that same pressure. That's very uncommon pressure, because addiction is very uncommon type of pressure, and I apply that same thing to entrepreneurship. So,
amen. So, Dale, how can listeners follow you, book you to speak, book you to mentor? How can they find you?
How can they find me?
Mm-hmm.
Good question. Instagram, Facebook. My Facebook name is, of course, Dale Townsend, 5853. My Instagram is the same thing, as well as you can also email me. That's at DaleTownsend7@gmail.com, or also you can email me at destinedtomakeit@gmail as well.
All right. I'm actually typing all this in the event. So, guys, if you missed any of that information, I am typing that into the Facebook event, which is a public event. And our topic tonight, purpose, is there is purpose in your testimony. Now, the topic itself, Dale, what does this topic mean to you? There is purpose in your testimony.
What does it mean? You know, for me personally, personally experiencing that, knowing that there's purpose anytime that you share your testimony. Anytime I share my testimony with people or individual, I'm reminded of what God has done, but they're also encouraged through my experiences of what God has done.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a twofold, you know, because I don't believe that God, you know, I believe that God is twofold. I don't believe that he just said, go bless this individual and there's nothing that is coming back your way, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's the thing about it. So it often reminds me, reminds me of where I've been in my life as I share with others.
Amen. Well, we're going to open the line up. If anyone has a question, look like we have someone that's pressed the button already. If you press 1, you can make a comment or ask a question for Dale or myself. If you press 1 now, I actually have a person that's pressed 1 already. I don't know if they meant to, but your number is ending in 7949. You're going to be first in the queue. So here we go. You are live with Dale and Aaliyah. Who do we have on the line with us tonight?
Good evening. This is Crystal Chanel. How are you?
Great. How are you this evening, Crystal?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for asking. I was able to listen to the call. Got on kind of late, but I caught what I needed to catch. And I wanted to just tell Dale, thank you so much for sharing your story and your testimony. And I can truly, truly relate with you on so many different levels. And I'm very appreciative of you telling your story on today. Me personally, I had an addiction to sex, and it's hard on a daily basis, you know, to do the work that God has called us to do. Sometimes it gets, you know, it can kind of wear on you, you know, when you're sharing so much. But I'm very grateful to know that, you know, hey, I'm not the only one, you know, that was out here once upon a time, you know, struggling with this and struggling with that. And I still have my focus now is to break the food addiction. You know, I was able to break the sex addiction, but now it's focusing on the food. And it's difficult, just fighting every single day to do better and become a better me in that area, because I know that's still my struggle.
That's awesome.
But what I do want to ask, you know, first, you know, what type of advice would you give to someone like me that's still struggling with the food addiction?
Food is just from my own journey. I had to realize that, you know, first of all, I'm a perfectionist. So I want to be perfect. I want all my issues. I want to be rendered white as snow. And God brings victory in our life at different times, in different areas. That's what keeps us really dependent on him. You see what I'm saying? Because once again, like I shared with you, was the cigarettes didn't go until 2 years later after I was sober. Wow. You feel what I'm saying? So I was still going to church blowing. You see what I'm saying? Blowing sick. And I know it's probably some deacons and some ministers that say, well, look at this guy right here. But you can't minimize the redemptive work that God did in my life. Because your journey, and this is what I want to share with you real closely, that's why we can never compare ourselves to another person. Because what God has brought you out of, most people have died in that situation or caught AIDS in that situation.
Yes, absolutely.
You feel me? So you cannot minimize that. You see what I'm saying? And and that's that, because your struggles or certain things that you may have been through or overcoming may look different. But just know that there's a set time according to our willingness. You know, because God has to get us willing to really want to tackle that area. And that's what he did for me. And there's other areas in my life that God is still working with. But if that answers your question, it's a process.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, so.
And I can definitely relate, you know, you stating that, you know, you were still going to church and puffing. And I get it, because, you know, even during that time when I was in the world and doing the things that I was doing, you know, I would be in the church. And, of course, instead of me listening to what the pastor was saying, I was more concerned about, you know, who I could screw after service. You follow what I'm saying? So I completely understand, but I really, really appreciate, you know, you giving me those words of encouragement. So thank you kindly.
No problem, man. Keep hanging in there too, sister.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. We have our next call. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
All right. You are live with Dale and Aaliyah. Who do we have online with us? Hello. 0530 is the last four digits of your number. You are live with us.
Hi. My name is Jillian. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia.
Hi, Jillian.
Yeah. What's happening, cousin?
How you doing, cousin?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm great. I'm great. Your testimony was so powerful. It just, I didn't even know. And just hearing just the bits and pieces of what you are sharing, I was like, oh, my God, my cousin. But just seeing how you have overcame it and how he has made you new. And like God says in his word that he will take your ashes and make them beauty. And so I'm seeing the manifestation of your beauty from your ashes. And so I'm just so excited and just so blessed and just hearing the testimony and just like, wow, my cousin been through all of that and come out and don't even look like it. And that's the true blessing, and not being and not taking on the victimized mindset. And so I just thank you for being able to trust God and let him use you as a powerful vessel in this world, because there's so many others who are struggling with drug addiction or alcohol or any kind of addiction, and they need to hear this and know that this is not the end for them.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Indeed, I appreciate that, because I really do. Mm-hmm.
Hey,
most importantly, I thank God.
Oh yeah. I just had a quick question.
Yes.
With you starting your own Destined to Make It, I know you were saying how a lot of people didn't, long time ago, they didn't want to even hear what you said because they knew the old you. They only knew that person. How did you overcome the fear of you stepping out on your own, knowing that, okay, there are going to be some people that's going to try to bring up what I did 5 years ago, 10 years ago? How did you overcome those fears of the stigmatize of what other people are going to try to say about you?
You know, and that's a very good question. And that was a process, because one of the things was is that I didn't in my sobriety this time, because once again I share it was many a times that I was trying to get sober. And I believe that God did his part. It was no lack on God's part. But this time there was a very stronger process of my development. And so a lot of things that I did not get. And there was a lot of things that I thought I should got and God was teaching me certain things. And he was really preparing me for what I actually do today. By the time I got to really where destined to make it was, a lot of people that I associated with realized I was no longer that lame man. So they didn't even want to come around me. They didn't even really want to associate themselves with me. And it wasn't really I had to say anything to them. Because you remember, I think it talks about in the Bible, it says that they took note that he was with Jesus. They were talking about a man that Jesus healed. And so I think a lot of times when God really develops us and establishes us, we really don't have to say anything to people. They already identify we're in that position. And I think a lot of people identify that I was in that position. Now, do I struggle with sometimes focusing on critics? Yes, I do. But that's, once again, that's just another process of, because once again, I'm not perfect, but that's at the end of the day is I'm improving more in that area. So, you know, it's just, I don't know if that answers the question, but I just think that it was a lot of tedious development that I went through this time that was a lot more different than what I really experienced ever in my life. So.
Oh, yeah. You answer it.
So, Cuz, I appreciate you.
Thank you, cousin. And God bless you and keep it moving.
Yes, ma'am.
Jillian, thank you so much for listening in tonight. I appreciate you.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right, we got another one. You ready?
All right, let's go.
Okay. Welcome to On Fire to Inspire. You're here with Dale and Aaliyah. Who do we have with us this evening?
My name is Andre Kellen.
Hi, Andre. How are you this evening?
Good. How you doing?
Great.
Pretty good.
I want to say, you know, congratulations on your deliverance, and maybe you could help me out with something. I have been to AA, NA meetings before, and it was suggested that I get a sponsor, you know, just like both of you. But whenever I started dealing with them, I felt a check in my spirit, because all of the ones that I became acquainted with were focused on recovery, but seemed to have no concern at all about righteousness. And it seemed that was their main focus, was recovery. And, you know, and righteousness was, you know, if I mentioned something like that to them, then I know you've heard it before. They'll be, oh, well, we're a spiritual program too. You know, but did you have any issues? And if you did, how did you overcome them with AA being a recovery process, but not being really focused on righteousness? Did you struggle with that? And if you did, how did you overcome it?
I did, and I didn't. Because once again, because by the time I got to AA, my background, and which I didn't say, my background was very extensive, far as people that I knew that was in the ministry. My mother was in the ministry. So I was around church pretty much my whole life. I was around that. And remember that, you know, every perfect and good gift comes from God. That's number one. So AA, NA, those are resources. Those are things that are there to help you and support you through your journey. You see what I'm saying? And this is what I had to remember, that when I was out there in the club, when I was out there in the street, when I was doing what I was doing, people weren't right out there either, but it never stopped me from going out there. So when your life is on the line, you see what I'm saying, which my life today is still on the line, because I have to continue to still do the things that I did when I first came into the rooms of Alcoholic Anonymous. And so my suggestion to you is that give it a chance. Be open-minded to the suggestions and just allow it to change. Because we suffer from the application. You see what I'm saying? We're a little bit more different, and we suffer from the application. And that's why, you know, it was important it was important for me to be a part of Alcoholic Anonymous because I could get it at the altar. I could get that release. And then 2 or 3 weeks or a month or 4 months down the road, I was right back in the liquor store. I was right back doing the same things that I was doing. And that doesn't, don't get it twisted, that doesn't take away my relationship with God. But Alcoholic Anonymous has helped me improve my relationship with God because this is one thing I do know. It is my purpose to make sure that it's my purpose to hold on to this gift of sobriety because I know that it's God's purpose for me to be sober, to have a relationship with him. And if that's by Alcoholic Anonymous, I'm receptive to that because today it really is not about me. It's about him. So I hope that answered your question.
Well, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I got you. I appreciate you making an attempt to answer it, though.
Andre, and in those
I appreciate
cases,
you, brother.
Andre, in some of those places and some of those cases, you may be stronger in your faith than they are. So they may be going through the motions, so to speak, but they can't give you what they don't have, so you may be stronger than them. And so in that case, don't look at man, look at the man.
All right.
Okay. All right, well, thank you so much for listening in, sweetheart. You have a great evening now.
Thank you, y'all. You all too.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andre.
All right, Dale, we got a couple more. You ready?
All right. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Welcome to On Fire to Inspire. You have Aaliyah and Dale. Who do we have on the line with us this evening?
Great evening, King and Queen. It's Dr. Ed Womack, the Urban Leadership Strategist.
Good evening, Doc. How are you?
I'm a little irritated because I'm late, and I hate that I've missed a portion of Brother Dale sharing tonight. So, man of God, thank you, first of all, being a man of purpose and staying on point. I did hear some of your responses, and I've also stalked you on your Facebook page, so we definitely need to connect. And what I wanted to say, first of all, is I want to respond, if I could, just briefly to the brother that was just on. And it kind of echoes something that Brother Dale said that I did struggle with. I was straight mad at God during my journey back, and I'm a recovering cocaine addict. And at one point on my journey, I actually was mad at God, let alone righteousness. I was mad at God himself. And so to the point that you made, it was one particular passage within the NA literature that said that an addict, any addict, can stop using and find a new way to live. And to live was the hit for me because when I began to realize that I had to stop existing and start living for myself and have a relationship with my creator, not because mom and them, Pukey and them. What I discovered, similar to what I think I heard the brother that was just on, I think it was Andre, was the struggle in the rooms. And by the grace of God, if he's willing, in November I'll be celebrating 10 years of sobriety.
That's awesome.
And I share your sentiment that it's my purpose to be sober. He delivered me from that in order to serve others. So I want to ask you a question with regard to the early portion of the journey. You mentioned you had a background of spirituality. I did as well. But I still ended up finding myself mad at God. And I found myself mad because I was asking, why me? Instead of, what do you want me to learn out of this? So my question for you is, are you at the, I know you're at the what is it for me to learn stage, but how do you see your challenges or your learning change as you get more sobriety? Because it is a daily maintenance required. So how do you
you're right about that.
How do you see your, you know, your maintenance or your lessons changing in your process?
As far as with God, you saying? I want to make sure I hear you clearly.
Sobriety in general. And if it includes God, that's fine too. Because
there's
different levels of the struggle. So I just would like to know where your struggle is and how do you deal with those and the new lessons that he's the new lessons and God are presenting.
Okay. And I say this is two things. Is with the even responding to the brother, because when I first came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I was in a lot of pain. And so when you're in a lot of pain, it's kind of like you're bleeding. You don't care who put the Band-Aid on. You're not worried about, like, spotting, like, oh, okay, hey, you gamble, you do this, and that. You're not, you don't need a bio on somebody. You just, you want some help. And that's kind of number one. But as your process grow, as you grow, like what you're saying, the thing is the hardest thing is really staying willing and staying humble. Because, you know, you get better, life gets better, you obtain materialistic things. You, what was a liability, now people have respect for you. Your self-esteem changes. Your views of God changes. Because, you know, when I came into recovery, the way I view God is not the same as I view him now. Because exactly. God has did so much for me. Because I looked at God only as a God that could get me out of jail. That's a different, not a guy that can start a business. That's totally different. You see what I'm saying? That's where I come from. You see what I'm saying? So in that regard, so much changes. And so at this juncture in my life is learning how to continue to do what I don't want to do, but I need to do. If that makes sense. Because pain is no longer really the motivator, because you have had so many experiences with glory that pain is really not the driving force like it used to be. Because once again, when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I was in a lot of pain and I was dismantled pretty badly as an individual. So today what people see in my life is learning how to have that balance where people can give you, they can give you props, they can give you respect, but don't get it twisted. Pain can be refunded. And that's one thing that I keep very close to me, that just like I shared my testimony in front of 5,000 people, when you see how people can chant your name like they did Jesus, Jose, Jose, and then at the same time crucify you, it gives you a different perspective of even when you're beginning to experience the success that I'm beginning to experience in my life, because you know that people are very conditional. And that's kind of like how I handle the process of, at this juncture of my recovery, because it's not so much about sickness, it's not about cigarettes, a lot of dysfunctions, is not about unhealthy relationships, all of those things, because I was always in some type of bondage. So today, just experiencing freedom and beginning to experience options is something, a new way of living that I have no point of reference to. But I do know that where I come from, I don't want to go back, if that answers your question.
Bruh. Hold up now, Ms. On Fire Inspire, you done started something up in here. You know, my favorite book, the undisputed number one bestseller, says, "We have not because we have not." Brother Dale, I need you to be a guest on Man Rise Up Radio in the near future, and we'll connect offline, brother. Keep doing your thing. We got lives to change, brother.
I appreciate you, man. The most high.
Yes, likewise. Thank you so much, Ms. On Fire Inspire. Keep rocking.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Dale,
you ready? You want to catch your breath, get to some water, because we got a couple more callers. You ready?
I'm good.
Okay,
thank
good.
You,
you're welcome. Welcome to On Fire to Inspire. You're live with Dale and Aaliyah. Who do we have with us? Hello. Ending in 2488.
Yes, how
you're
doing?
Live.
Yes, how you doing? This is Damon Hype.
Hi, Damon. How you doing this evening?
Pretty good. Just want to say,
what's up, Hightown?
What's going on, man? How you been, man?
Pretty good, brother.
That's good. I just want to call and say thank you to both. Being in the position, being with Dale probably since you were probably about 12 to probably about the last 20 years, I just want to say thank you, man, for giving out your testimony. I know it's reaching out to a lot of people, so I just want to give you thanks from all of us, especially your parents. I'm pretty sure that they are, you know, smiling right now, but I just want to say thank you, man, for doing all your support, and I'm continuing to support you, bro.
Appreciate it. Man, and you know what? Mm-hmm. To be honest with you, Aaliyah, you know, he's like a brother to me, and mm-hmm. he's seen me in just my days of when I wasn't in addiction, you know, mm-hmm. and those days were, you know, we could play and the innocence was still there and mm-hmm. all of those things. And he watched me change over the years, you know, mm-hmm. and it's real. And I appreciate you, Hightower, man. I appreciate because in my addiction, I reached out to him and he never judged me. Mm-hmm. And I reached out to him many a times. And that's the thing about it. You know, people, and I don't really want to get emotional because sometimes, like, when somebody kind of, like, really knows you, and it takes your mind back, you know, because people in Charlotte really don't know me on that level, and hopefully they'll never know me on that level. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it just reminds me of, you know, where God has brought me from, you know. So, yeah. Man, I appreciate you, Hightower.
Always, always, man. Love you, bro.
Well, thank
Love
you so much for dialing in and right. listening and supporting us this evening. All right, you ready?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, here we go. Welcome to On Fire to Inspire. You are live with Dell and Aaliyah. Who do we have with us?
Okay, can you hear me okay?
We can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, great. This is Tina, Dale.
That's my supervisor.
Yes,
there's more.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. First of all, I just want to touch. What a powerful testimony. I was almost in tears just at your sense of seeing the pureness of what you're saying and the challenges that you have faced. Oh, gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very inspiring, Dale, first of all. So congratulations on being able to share your story and get people insight that can help them further themselves in life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, so proud of you. I just wanted to pose a question because I know the field, you know, that you work in, it's probably pretty difficult for you to see people go through the same thing that you have faced. What is the most challenging part whenever you have to work in that field on a regular basis and see people that are in and out of recovery?
The most challenging part is that everybody's not going to live, and that's honestly because I have had a lot of friends that died in active addiction. That die, you know, from this insidious illness and disease. So just knowing that everybody's mm-hmm. not, and, you know, and that's what my heart goes out to, you
mm-hmm.
know, and I just say that, you know, my heart really goes out to that because, you know, everybody, you know, this is an illness that requires you to say I didn't had enough. And I'm talking about really to be in some real pain to really begin to change or want to change. And everybody pain level is different. It took a lot of years. You know, jaw broke, hip dislocated 2 times, in and out of jail, hospitalizations, broken relationships. You know what I'm talking about? Like just losing jobs. I mean, probably over 40 jobs, 30 jobs I lost. You know what I'm talking about? Losing everything. See, that's my story. You know, so I'm able to identify what, you know, just the ugly, insidious part of this illness. And so sometimes dealing with individuals that have dual diagnosis or, you know, dealing with those individuals, sometimes it can be complicated mm-hmm. because I know that, you know, their life is on the line.
Yeah.
Any minute, you can overdose.
Mm-hmm.
Or any minute, somebody can do something to you. So, you know, that's the challenging part, is watching people go through what I went through and wanting to help them, but they got to want the help.
Right.
You know, so.
Wow.
Well, awesome. Well, I'm glad to have you as, you know, part of our team. I truly am, and you are leaving the workplace. And wow, you're here right now just by stepping out on stage as you did. So, hats off to you, Dale. Very proud of you.
I appreciate that, Miss Tina Moore. That's my supervisor. I had to answer that real carefully. But, yeah. But thank you too, Tina. I appreciate it. She's always supported me in like everything that since I've been at this agency. That's one thing I can say. She's always bent over backwards to support me and really believed in me and put me with some tough cases where I was like, I really don't even want this individual. But she was like, "Dale, you can do it." She's like, "This is the person." I'm like, "This person is." But you know what it was? That person was just like me. And a lot of times we run from people that are just like ourselves or people that we can identify certain characteristics. I should put it like that. So, Thank you so much for dialing in, Ms. Tina.
Thank you, guys.
Amen. Well, this has been a very, very fruitful interview. We've had so many people calling in. You know, I have callers come in every now and then. Sometimes everybody act kind of shy. But tonight, I thank God for each and every person that took the time to press one and either made a comment, ask a question. I know, Dale, that really made his day as well. Right, Dale?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, people don't realize one that's constantly giving. When other people give you feedback, it's like it gives you more nourishment to give more. So thank you so much for taking the time to do that for him. So Dale, what would be a final word that you would say to the people that are listening? What's something that you want to say? Well, before you say that, remind us how we can contact you, follow you, so keep up with you and the great things that you're doing with Destined to Make It.
You once again, Facebook, that's Dale Townsend, 58, 53, repeated the same way for Instagram, as well as my email is Dale, that's D-E-L, Town, that's T-O-W-N, 7@gmail.com. Also, my other email is destined2makeit@gmail. Yes, ma'am.
All right, now that final piece that you would say.
The final piece that I would say is that I could remember going to Jamaica. Probably, I'm gonna say about 2 months ago, I went to Jamaica, and just going there and really looking. And when I looked up and I took a picture, it was probably more angelical when I took the picture, but just looking up and saying, you know what, this is what God's been wanting to give me the whole time. This is what he's been wanting to give me a lot of them years that I was out there. And, you know, it's people that probably called in that there's things that God wants to give you that you haven't quite experienced. And when you begin to taste God and you really begin just not to taste mercy, because there's a lot of times we're so used to mercy, but when you really begin to taste his goodness and see that he really can do really exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or you really think, and that's no longer a scripture, but that become really experience, It compels you to want to do more. And that's why a lot of times people say, Dale, like, what motivates you? And what motivates me is that I spent so many years incarcerated to this illness. And I just pledge to help as many people as I can and just to do God's assignment. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a perfect person, but to just give of myself. And so, you know, I will leave every individual knowing that a life without giving of yourself is truly a very empty life.
Wow.
And life is not about accumulating things, and that's just one portion of it, but it's about really helping. And we all have something that we can give to someone, or we all have something that we can help someone with.
Yes. And
remember, you're destined to make it.
You are destined to make it. Just one last thing. I want you to do a quick advertisement for your mom's book.
Yes, ma'am. Which is awesome. And as to is my mom, that's my rock. That's my heart. That's my best friend. That's my ride or die. That's that woman right there that it'd be hard for me to really get married because like a woman that has a good relationship with a daddy, like I got high expectations because my mom has just been there through thick and thin, hell and high water. She's just a soldier. She's been there. But it's in stores, experiencing the greatness of God in the spiritual realm. This is something that you do not want to sleep on. It shows glimpse from actually it shares her perspective on the things that she saw me go through, and it has my life in it. But not only does it have my life in it, but there's a lot of women that are listening to this broadcast that have sons, that have daughters or whatever. It's also giving you the perspective of a mother, which I am not. So this right here can be able to help you in the valley. This is something, if you're not in the valley, if your kids are small, that's okay because you can get it now because you might need to utilize it later. But this is something that you definitely do not want to sleep or you don't want to overlook. This is a book that definitely will bring encouragement and enlightenment just into your life. So, and once again, that is Experiencing the Greatness of God in the Spiritual Realm.
All right, by Miss
Alexandria Townsend.
Yes, yes, yes. So thank you again, man of God. I appreciate you joining us for On Fire to Inspire tonight. You have been such a blessing for your transparency, and I pray God's blessings that you continue to walk and move forth in the things of God. And again, God's going to continue to get glory out of your story because it's all about Him and your focus is on Him. So thank you so much for joining us on Fire to Inspire tonight.
Thank you for having me, Aaliyah.
You are so welcome. Guys, I tell you, if you miss any of this interview, give it about 5 minutes and go back on the website and listen to this interview. Share it with every family member because I'm telling you, whether they were struggling with a drug addiction or alcohol addiction, whatever the addiction is, there is healing for your family member, for you, even if you're a closet alcoholic or whatever. But I'm telling you, there is glory in your story. God's going to get the glory out of it. So I'm so excited to have had Dale on here tonight. His mom has been a great supporter and sponsor for On Fire to Inspire Network since I actually launched this network on my own August of last year. And I thank her each and every month for God sowing, allowing her to sow into this ministry because this is my ministry, bringing things for you. I call myself a purpose midwife. I don't birth babies. I birth purpose. God gave me an assignment, and part of that assignment was to tell the people it's time to stop existing and start living the life that He created you to live. And that is what Dale is doing. He stopped that existence stage. He stopped existing. He stopped allowing the enemy to keep him in bondage. But what he said is, I'm going to come into my true identity of who God called me to be. And he's living the life that God's calling him to be. He's helping others become free. And he is just allowing God to do a great work. So I want to thank him yet again. And guys, I'm telling you, tune in each and every week at 8 p.m. Tuesday, Eastern Standard Time if you're on the East Coast. West Coast, we are 5 p.m. your time. Central Time, we're 7. And I'm telling you, I bring people each and every week that are sharing, whether it's a testimony or whether they're walking in their purpose so that you can find either healing or it can make your baby leap. I give the analogy all the time that my show is just like Mary speaking. We're Mary, my guest and I, we're Mary. And Elizabeth, you are Elizabeth as the listening audience, whether you're live or listening to the recording. And as we begin to speak and as that person begins to share, your baby begins to leap. So if you're not doing anything, you know, walking in your purpose, you can't sit still because that baby is leaping. So you got to get up and move. You got to awaken, arise, and you got to move forward. And if you're already doing what you're supposed to do, well, it's like pouring kerosene or gasoline on a fire. It just engulfs you all over again. That's what I'm here to do each and every week for you. So I thank God for accepting this assignment because I'm going to be honest, I didn't want to, but I thank God for it. And the show is actually an origination of a book that God gave me. You Wake Me Up in the Midnight Hour. And the title of the book is On Fire to Inspire. You can find it on Amazon, on Kindle. It's available in audiobook and CD. But it's time to do what God has called you to. There are too many people out there waiting for you. It's time for you to awaken. It's time for you to arise. And it's time for you to move. And one of the things, God gave me three words this year. He said, be intentional, be strategic, and move with momentum. I'm sharing that with you because that's someone else, that's a word for you. It's time for you to stop being passive, and it's time for you to walk in the boldness that God has called you to. So if he's putting you to write a book, it's time. Reach out to me. I can, you know, do some consultations and tell you how to get that going. If he's called you to start singing, start doing research. Whatever it is he's called you to, stop sleeping on it. Stop procrastinating. No more delay. We cancel that now. It's time for you to walk in the ladder because your ladder is here. I am Aaliyah Butler, Miss On Fire to Inspire. Tune in next week, same time, same place, and have a great night.